Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless each and every one of you. This is Bishop Shema Womack. I want to thank you for joining me tonight on this particular hour of prayer and prophecy. Last night, those of you that joined me, we began to talk about the realism of faith and learning how to actually apply faith, but not human faith. We talked about the difference of human faith versus the God kind of faith. I want to take it to another dimension today, because in order to pray effectively, it must be a prayer that actually is so saturated, not with human faith, but with the God kind of faith. The kind of faith that when God said, "Let there be light," he actually did not think about it and begin to say it twice or three times or entertain doubt and unbelief nor fear, but he spoke faith-filled words, knowing that as he would speak these words, the end result would be light. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it actually says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." When you look at that scripture, it's really telling us that faith is substance. Now, I'm saying that because many people think faith is acting. Faith is acting like something is so when it really isn't so. Many people actually think that that's what faith is. They think that faith is acting like something is so when it really isn't so. And if we do that long enough, then it becomes so. But that's not it at all. The scripture lets us know faith is real. Faith is substance. I want you to think about that. This is saying that faith is real. It is the evidence of things not seen. Notice it didn't say things that don't exist. They do exist. They just aren't seen. Those of you that joined me last night, you probably heard me talk about how my dad would actually say that faith is the hand that reaches out to nothing and grabs a hold of nothing until nothing becomes something. Now, that something always was something. It's just not seen. So even in the natural world, we come to realize that there are things that do exist that we can't see. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I'm actually using my computer right now to actually minister to you. And there is something called Wi-Fi that is actually in the air that's causing my computer to work, where I don't even have to have something directly plugged in to any kind of device, except the computer is picking up a signal that I cannot see in the natural. And it is a real, real substance. It is something that exists, but I just can't see it. Yet you can hear me. I'm coming to you through by way of internet. Some of you are listening to me by way of cell phone. Some of you are listening to me by a laptop, a computer, and you're connected to a Wi-Fi, something you can't see. Isn't that something? So in the natural world, we come to realize that there are things that do exist, but we can't see. We can't see the television signals, but they do exist. And I'm going to tell you, in fact, wherever you are right now, there are television signals right there with you. There are Wi-Fi. You don't even have to have Wi-Fi. Your next door neighbor or somebody across the street got a Wi-Fi. And it is right there with you. And if you say no, there aren't television signals, there aren't Wi-Fi, just because you can't see it, just because you can't hear them, that doesn't mean that they don't exist. It just means you aren't very smart, because they do exist. They're just unseen. They are unseen realities. A television set can actually make unseen signals visible. So when we see the images, it's not when they became real. When you see a manifestation of what you've been praying about come into demonstration, it comes into the physical realm. That's not when it became real. When your body manifests healing or a miracle, or your wound gets healed, or your headache gets healed, that's not when it became real. Just because a television can make an unseen signal visible, and then we see an image or a TV show, that's not when it became real. They were already there. A television set doesn't generate images. The set just receives the signal, and then it converts into sights and sounds that we can actually perceive. But the television signals were already there before we turned them on, or before we even tuned in. There's shows on right now, and your TV could be off. The show doesn't become real because you see the show. The show already existed. Actually, somebody else could be watching it, and you just decide not to turn it on. And that's what happens many times. We don't hit the switch of faith, or because we don't see something, we think it doesn't exist. I hope you're getting this. So probably every person let's say that you're reading a letter, okay? Somebody sent you a letter, but they wrote the letter before they sent you the letter. Now that you're reading the letter, is the print on the letter real now because you're reading it? No. While it was traveling through the mail to you, the print was already there before you even got the letter. It was real. You just received it. So I want you to understand, dealing with watching a TV, dealing with the letter, and probably every person that ever read a letter or watched TV, when suddenly the picture went, for instance, a picture went blank. You ever seen TV sometimes, the picture just went blank? What did you do when the picture went blank on the TV? I bet you didn't call a television station and complain about them stopping their broadcast, because they didn't stop the broadcast. The first thing you did probably was check and see if everything was working on your television set, or see if a plug came out. Was the electricity on? Was it plugged in? Did a tube go out? Or did we don't use tube tape TVs too much today. Some of you probably don't know what I'm talking about. I went back into the 70s, but a lot of TVs used to be tubes, and that we used to replace the tube, you know, or did some circuit melt on the circuit board? You checked your receiver to actually see what was wrong with it. You trust that the station broadcasts 24/7. You don't question that until you eliminate all the possible problems with your set. This is the same thing we need to realize with God. God is real and does exist. He just can't be seen. He's broadcasting all the time. He's broadcasting all his power. He's broadcasting all his blessings 24/7. It's never God's transmitter that's broken. It's always our receiver that's the problem. See, if we ask God for something and we don't see it, in other words, we don't see it, especially the way we want to see stuff. And how do we want to see stuff? We always want to see something instantly. Ain't that right? We want to see it right while we're actually talking about it? Why are we actually praying? And if we ask God for something and we don't see it manifested instantly, most people question why God hasn't answered that prayer yet. What happens is they assume that because they haven't seen or heard anything, nothing has happened. And I'm going to tell y'all, that's all wrong. We need to have more faith in God than we have at a television station. There's a very good illustration of this truth in 2 Kings chapter 6, where it talks about the prophet Elisha. Elisha, the prophet of God, was actually revealing the Syrians' battle plans to the king of Israel. And every time the king of Syria attempt to ambush the king of Israel, the prophet Elijah would warn the king of Israel, and he would ambush the Syrians' ambush. Is that deep? This happens so often that the king of Syria finally asked his servants to reveal who the traitor was. He thought it was somebody in his army that was actually telling the plan and the strategy. And he knew that the king of Israel could not be maneuvering like he was without some inside information. So when one of the king, when the king of Syria servant said that there's a prophet, his name is Elisha. Elisha, the prophet of God, he's the one telling your strategy, even though he ain't even a part of our army. But somehow God is actually giving them insight, and he's revealing the words as you're saying it, O king, to the king of Israel. Isn't that deep? So Elisha, the prophet of God, was revealing the words that the king of Syria said in his bedchambers to the king of Israel, and the king of Syria sent his armies to actually go capture Elisha. Then in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth before an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" So, in other words, when Elisha's servant saw the Syrian troops, he actually panicked. He knew why they were there, because they had discovered that Elisha was the one telling the king of Syria's battle plans to the king of Israel. So the servant of Elisha figured, we in some big trouble right now. I want you to look at the response of Elisha to this situation in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Oh, my God. See, people who don't believe anything exists beyond their five senses would say Elisha was lying, because it was just Elisha and his servant. So this statement makes no sense in the natural. He was actually confessing something. I'm talking about Elisha was confessing something that was so, when it really wasn't so, hoping that it would become so. But that's not the way it was at all. Elisha spoke the truth. There were more with him than there was with the Syrian army. It's just that Elisha forces were actually in the unseen reality. I'm here to let you know tonight, there's some forces that are with you that is in the unseen reality. There's some potential that you don't see, but yet you have that potential. There's some giftings that you have that you don't see, but yet it exists. There's some glory to glory that you're about to experience that you just don't see, but it does exist. Just like Elisha said to his servant, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them. People, you have some forces that you just don't see that's in the unseen reality. And the key to understanding this is to recognize there's another realm of reality beyond this physical world. Those who are limited to only their five senses are going to always struggle with this. They think Elisha was lying. And indeed, he would have been lying if all that exists is this physical world. You could count the Syrian troops by the thousands, and there was only Elisha and his servant. But Elisha wasn't lying. Elisha wasn't lying because there was another world of reality. If you looked at the whole picture, the physical and the spiritual world, then Elisha was right on. In the spiritual realm, there are many more horses. In the spiritual realm, there are many more chariots of fire. In the spirit realm, there's a host of heaven around Elisha than that were with the Syrian troops. And then if you look right over in chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, Elisha prayed, listen to this, and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes," talking about his servant, "that he may see." See, Elisha didn't have a problem in seeing in the spiritual realm. He wasn't even looking in the natural realm, because in the natural realm, it just was Elisha and his servant. But Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." Sometimes when you're not seeing what you need to see in the spirit, you need to ask the Lord to open up your eyes. I'm talking about open up your spiritual eye. So notice this prayer. He said, "Open up his eyes that he may see." And he and the Lord opened the eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, the Lord showed me something in this verse. I just sent out a post on Facebook as well as Twitter. The Lord began to move in me and show me to start dealing with people between the ages of 18 and 30. And it's kind of sad to a degree. And I remember something my dad said. Usually if you don't attain leadership by the age of 30 and over, you're probably not going to be a leader. But those that are around the age of between 18 and 30, they're more flexible, more teachable. Now, I know some people get mad, but, you know, some of y'all heard you can't teach old dog new tricks. Now, some people can. It takes a lot because people have practiced and practiced for years procrastination. People have practiced and practiced bad dietary habits for years. People have practiced and practiced and have torn their body up and whipped their body up into obesity and so forth. So to make change is going to be strange, and it's very difficult for some because a lot of people don't want to be told anything or taught anything or coached or mentored. Usually after the age of 30, you know, I do it my way. And the Lord showed me something here in this verse here where he says, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man." Notice the prayer was for the young man. Now, can the old person learn something? It can. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take some ever-increasing faith. It can. And a person has to want to change. A person's going to have to want to pursue. You'll find that a lot of times as people get older, they get more subtle and they don't want to pursue. They don't pursue doing things that are necessary. And this scripture is so powerful because Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." Whose eyes? We know it's a young man, that he may see. And it is the job of those that are older to teach the younger how to see. How to see in the spiritual, how to see through the eyes of faith. And the Bible says, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Now, this is powerful. So Gehazi, that was his servant's name, His physical eyes were already wide open, his physical eyes. God wasn't opening up his physical eyes because he used his physical eyes to see. That's what made him panic. But God was opening his spiritual eyes. He was able to see with his heart into the spiritual world. And when the spiritual world was taken into consideration, then Elisha's statement was perfectly true. So those who see faith as an attempt to make something happen, or those who see faith as an attempt to make something real, which isn't real, are always going to struggle with those who see faith as simply making what is spiritually true a physical truth. So those who limit truth to only the physical realm would have called Elisha one of those name it, claim it, one of those blab it, grab it cultists. But in saying such things, they condemn themselves. They show that they only consider what they can actually see. They only consider what they can taste, what they can hear, what they can smell, what they can feel to be reality. They're what the Bible calls carnal. When Gehazi's eyes were open, the Syrians didn't disappear. Get that? They were still there. The physical truth was still true, but there was a greater spiritual truth that actually emerged. True faith, hear me, people, true faith doesn't deny physical truth. True faith doesn't deny physical truth. It just refuses to let physical truth dominate spiritual truth. I'm going to say that again. True faith doesn't deny physical truth. It just refuses to let physical truth dominate spiritual truth. See, true faith subdues physical truth. True faith subdues physical truth to the reality of spiritual truth. And because Elisha believed in the realities of the spiritual world, he raised his hand and smote all of the Syrians with blindness. That's powerful. Isn't it something that Elisha prayed that his servant would see, but that same Elisha who prayed that that servant would see actually waved his hand and blinded those who basically were seeing to do something, some damage to him physically. Are y'all getting that? Elisha believed in the realities of the spiritual world. Spiritual things give birth to natural things. Here's the prophet. He raises up his hands. He smote all of the Syrians with blindness. Then he led the whole Syrian army. He led the whole Syrian army. Y'all hear me? This prophet, Elisha, he led the whole Syrian army captive to the king of Israel. He got his servant to see as he prayed, and the Lord opened up the servant's eyes, and then the Syrian army went blind, and then he leads them to the army captive to the king of Israel. Praise the Lord. That's not bad for an old prophet whom carnal people would say was all by himself. That wasn't bad at all. See, some of you, I'm by myself. Oh, trust me, I know that feeling. I know how we entertain that godly belief. I'm by myself. Look what the old prophet did by himself. By himself. Because you got to understand, his servant didn't move in faith. But the prophet did. He waved his hand, and his enemies went blind. Oh, my God. Some of you, there are things that are coming up against you. Wave your hand, and then lead that thing captive into the king of Israel, but to the king of kings. Elisha was not just speaking some wishful statement, hoping that it would become a reality. He knew what was real in the spiritual realm. They that be with us is more than they that be with them. Elisha was just having some wishful thinking. He knew that what was real in the spiritual realm, and he controlled his emotions, and he controlled his actions accordingly. People, this is what we need to do. This is one of the things the Lord been showing me. I've been on a consecration. I think it's 11 days now. And this is what the Lord showed me. We as a people, we have to learn how to actually move out of the realm of emotions, because that's what's messing you up. We need to practice as Elisha did. He knew what was real in the spiritual world, and he controlled his emotions and his actions. There's no indication that Elisha saw the horses and the chariots of fire around him. Y'all hear what I'm saying? There's no indication that Elisha saw the horses and the chariots of fire around him. He didn't need to. He believed it. So those who operate in true faith don't need to see with their physical eyes. Their faith is evidence enough. I'm here to let you know, brother, your faith is evidence enough. I'm here to let you know, sister, your faith is evidence enough. Don't allow people to pull you in and you ain't seen nothing. I'm telling you, there's no evidence or indication that Elisha saw the horses and the chariots of fire around him, because he already believed it. He wasn't even concerned. He's praying that somebody else's eyes be seen and then waves his hand so that the enemies go blind. Are y'all seeing it? This is so powerful. I remember sometime there was a woman that was at a particular revival who had a huge goiter on her neck. Some of you might remember Jack Cole back in the day. If not, you could probably pull up some of his videos. Jack Cole would slap people goiters off. I mean, it was a serious problem back during that time, because people would actually suffer from iodine deficiencies and so forth. That's why they created what's called iodinized salt. But this lady was in this meeting. She went forward for prayer, knew that she was healed. So she got up in front of the audience and gave a testimony of her goiter being healed. Now, the goiter was still visible to people, but the people praised God, thinking that the healing would manifest itself shortly. So they just started, hallelujah, praise God. And this goiter is still there. Now, what happened the next year at the same meeting, the woman got up again, praised the Lord for her healing. But there still wasn't any visible proof. So this began to concern a lot of people, but they didn't say anything. The next year, the same thing happened. This was too much for most people, and it actually even caused the leaders of that meeting to approach this woman and tell her that she couldn't testify of this healing again until the goiter was gone. In other words, stop lying. Well, she was told, you can't testify no more. You keep testifying that you hear from your goiter, and, you know, it's 3 years now. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. Listen to me, people. The woman told the Lord that she knew she had a healing. The woman told the Lord that she knew he had healed her. And she didn't have to see visible results to believe it. But for the sake of the unbelievers, she asked the Lord to physically remove the growth. Now, what happened? It disappeared. The woman showed them what she had already knew was true. You can get strong in faith, people, because your faith is substance. Your faith is substance. And all the evidence you need, faith is real. Faith is substance. Now, I've experienced this in my own life. I experienced this in my own life in so many different things. I remember I used to have to go get a special test, go down to the Newark City Hall, because I couldn't take that little prick that they did in your arm to check for certain things. I would actually break out TB, the tuberculosis test. And I remember getting the x-ray back, they're like, oh, you got TB. That was very popular back in the 60s. Some of you might remember the 60s and 70s, definitely in the 60s. They would do these tests in school looking for stuff. And I remember my dad prayed with me and said, you're fine. You'll be fine. And every year I had to go get x-rays because they had to look at my lungs. And probably about for 4 years, it still showed something in my lungs. But I kept believing and saying, I'm healed. Me and my dad agreed in prayer, and I'm healed. Right about the fifth year, they said, oh, you don't have to do this every year no more. Your x-ray showed up fine. You're cleared. Are y'all getting this? See, whether the x-ray showed it or not, I was cleared because me and my dad had agreed. Now, what happened, it took 5 years for it to catch up, for the body to catch up what had already taken place when me and my dad had prayed, you know, 4 or 5 years before then. Are y'all getting this? See, sometimes we think because we don't see it, it ain't there. Or because we don't feel it, it doesn't exist. No, people, that's not how we live in faith. We live supernaturally. When you look at the word supernaturally, you'll see two words, super and natural. So just because something doesn't appear natural, you got to understand, doesn't mean it's supernatural, because if it's natural, it ain't supernatural. And supernatural doesn't work the same way that things in the natural actually works out. Now, you got to understand, I'm not believing for something that isn't real to become real. And this is where many of us falter and we fail. We're believing for something that isn't real to become real. See, we need to adopt a different way of living. We should adopt what the scripture says, walking by faith. This is why many of you, when you pray, and even when you get a prophecy, some people are like, oh my God, that's just off the wall. No, the prophet's not off the wall. You just are looking to see something that basically you need to learn how to walk by faith first. And walking by faith is what gives birth to your prophecy. Walking by faith is what gives birth to your prophecy for demonstration and manifestation and for the word to become flesh and dwell among us. See, that word, I'm speaking words right now. You don't see characters coming out of my mouth. I can say the word faith. You don't see an F and an A and an I and a TH coming out of my mouth. But yet I'm speaking words. See, the scripture lets us know that the word can become flesh and dwell among us. Well, how's that going to take place? It takes place by understanding the realism, the reality of faith. Faith is substance. It's not something that's not real. It is substance. So this is the way to live. I know it's not normal, but I'm not getting normal results either. I've been believing big, and there have been big results, you know, from believing big. When you take on this faith walk, it's not about being normal. It's not about being natural. It's about being supernatural. See, your prayers don't work unless you're being moved by faith. You getting this? Your prophecy, you need to give birth to it as well. Again, I want you to hear this. I'm not believing for something that isn't real to become real. I've seen into the spiritual realm of faith, and I'm simply making what I've seen in the spiritual world manifest in the physical world. All of the things I'm seeing with my physical eyes now, I've already seen in my heart. I saw it on the inside before I saw it on the outside. Some of you need to make this a mantra in your daily confession, that I see it on the inside before I see it on the outside. I'm telling you, people, this is a wonderful way to live. This is the normal Christian life. We don't practice it as being normal, but this is the way we're supposed to live. This is walking by faith and not by sight. Are you getting this? And that's the way God wants you to walk, because this is really what pleases God, us walking by faith and not by sight. Sometimes your pastor or the prophet can say something that makes no sense at all to you because you don't see it. And I'm going to tell you, that's when you need to give God praise. That's when you need to receive, accept it, and walk in it. Because God will never tell you to do something, first of all, that you could afford. He'll always pull you out of the realm of being comfortable because he wants to get you beyond what you see. He wants to get you beyond what you feel in the natural. He wants to get you beyond your sense realm. And I'm telling you, God will always begin to move you out of that realm of senses and have you to do something that goes beyond human faith. I want to say that again. God will never have you to do something that you could afford. He'll never call you to do something you could afford. If it's something you could afford, it ain't God. God stretches you. He stretches you so that you can go from human faith to supernatural faith, which is actually the God kind of faith. See, there's some of you right now, you have an appetite for greatness. You have a desire for destiny. You have a passion for purpose, but you want to stay in the boat. You want to stay like the other disciples in the boat because it's comfortable there. But God is calling you out of your comfort zone. Do you know it ain't comfortable? It's after 12 o'clock. It ain't comfortable being on here listening right now at this time. You know, this is time we should all be in bed and sleep. But God is calling you out of your comfort zone, and there's something on the inside of you. Iron needs to be sharpened by iron. Here a little, there a little, going from faith to faith. There's something on the inside of you saying transformation. There's something on the inside of you saying change, change, change. There's something on the inside of you saying I need to expand. There's something on the inside of you that's saying something is pulling me to something greater. So that's why you're here. That's why you're on here tonight, because God is about to expand you. God is about to take you to a higher dimension, a higher level, and show you more than before. Oh, my God. Somebody need to say, I'm going to some place that's more than before. God is calling you to expand. God is calling you to expand your horizons. God is calling you, amen, to develop. Increase. I'm talking to you. God is about to blow you up. God is calling you to spread your wings and to stretch out and to unravel and to unfold. I hear the Lord saying that this is a time for you to stretch. And this is a time for me to stretch you. This is a time for me to get you out of your comfort zone, says the Lord. This is time to amplify. This is time to mount and to magnify and to lengthen and to hike and to fatten you in the area of spirit. This is a time for you to move in great detail, said the Lord. And this is a time to enlarge. For God says, I'm broadening your horizons. I'm causing you to dream big dreams. Ora Baba Shanta, Oma Kanderia Santa. You've been comfortable long enough. Oh yeah, you've been helping others long enough. Now it's time to help yourself. Now it's time for you to move into oversized blessings. Now it's time for you to move into a gigantic deluge of blessings, says the Lord. Ora Baba Kanderabu Shanta. God says this is time for you to move. In vastness. This time for you to move in a more sizable way. This is time for you to get full of my glory and be full of my purpose for your life. Gorabashanta. This is time to pack it on and to bring it out, to move forth in the jumbo anointing. Gadadaboshanta. This is time for you to be a heavyweight with the dream that I placed on the inside of you. And to go forth and move in a copious way, to move in an extensive way. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is calling you to greater heights and deeper depths. Amen. Calling you to move out of the comfort zone. You've been lingering long enough. I'm poking you, making you uncomfortable in that nest, say of God. You've been dilly-dallying long enough. You've been a loafer long enough. You've been a slow starter long enough, saith the Lord. It is time for you to move from glory to glory. I brought you through a breakthrough, not to stop. For the Lord says the breakthrough was just the beginning, but you stopped at the breakthrough. You prayed and asked me to give you deliverance and the breakthrough, but the breakthrough was not for you to relax and say, oh, I'm so glad that's over. No, that was just a start. So you need to continue to move forward and stop lingering and lathering and lagging and begin to make the move and go for the dream that I placed on the inside of you. For I prepared the table before you in the presence of your enemy. This is the time to tarry. This is the time to move forth and rally. This is the time to go forth and reconnect and recharge and receive. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let faith arise. Oh, when faith arise, it ain't your faith, but it's my faith. So let God arise, and your enemies be scattered. Let God arise, and your doubts be scattered. Let God arise, and your fear be scattered. For I am the Lord thy God, and I change not, and I promise that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll not give you an assignment and then leave you. I give you an assignment, and I stay with you, for I dwell on your inward parts. You need to begin to move in the acceptance of your calling and move in the acceptance of where I've positioned you. For I've given you certainty. For I've given you allegiance and assurance. I've given you a contract, and that is faith. Faith, which is substance, that will take you to your victorious destiny. That's the word of the Lord to you tonight. Korababashanda. My Gorobo Sonda. Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we give you honor. Lord, we decree that the best is yet to come. Let your people, God, begin to move in the reality of faith. Be no more children being tossed to and fro, carried about with the wind of doctrine. Amen, 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 amen. All right, I'm going to take some people if you have some questions or you have a prayer request. I'm going to go ahead. Let me see if I can get this thing going. I think I got you unmuted. Area code 252. State your name and go ahead and tell me what your question or request is.
Hi, my name is Keisha. And
bless you, Keisha. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Bless you. I don't know. You kind of answered my question.
I love the way God just do things, don't you? go ahead with the question anyway.
Well, I was going into a little opportunity with this guy, and I was just kind of wondering, what does God feel about that? Is that something that God brought into my life, or is that something that my eyes got too big for it, type of thing? But so I was just kind of wondering.
You are a smart young lady, and Lord would say, just keep your eyes open. Okay, there's some things you already know. The Lord says, just look at the lights he would actually present before you. When you see the yellow light, that means caution. You see the red light, that means stop. You see the green light, that means go forward. The Lord says you already have wisdom, but you need to begin to pursue some of your own dreams. Okay? There are many opportunities that lie before you. You only need one. And you need to focus and concentrate on that one thing. And when you focus and concentrate on that one thing, it'll bring satisfaction to you. You need to pour your energies on one thing. Because you're a smart young lady. You have potential. You got talent. But you need to be confident in yourself. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, And that's what's needed right now for you to be have confidence. I would suggest, too, if you don't mind, what's your age, if you don't mind telling me?
I'm 39.
Okay. What you need to do is find somebody that will coach you for a few months to get your confidence up. There's a lot of things you left on the table over the years because of not being confident. And as you get your confidence up, you can see a turnaround, a major turnaround in 3 years. And actually, you'll start to do some things, make some great moves in less than 3 years. But in 3 years, you'll be caught up in what you basically kind of lost over 14 years ago, for like the whole 14 years. So, I mean,
yeah,
God
really.
Is great. Okay.
Yeah.
And is the prophet talking right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So fine. And if you can't find anybody, you give me a call. I'll take you on, but you need some constant coaching, some life coaching, prophetic coaching, somebody who's going to basically, and I'm going to say, they're not going to be your friend. See, a friend accepts you just the way you are. A mentor or coach actually knows who you are, but they want to get you to what you're supposed to be. So there's a difference. It's a major difference. Friends, you don't have to change, you know.
No.
But a mentor is not accepting who you are because they know what you're called to be. And they help to evolve you to a greater you, the one that God wants you to walk in, which is really your true purpose. So this is a time for you not to waste no more time. And you really want to take advantage of really it's an open door for you right now. And, you know, keep your eyes open, your spiritual eyes. And when something don't feel right, trust yourself. Because it ain't just you, it's God in you. So trust
right.
it. If it don't feel right, don't even entertain it. Just move on to something else, because there's many opportunities lie before you. You just have to focus on one thing and don't waste any time. And you'll see that you'll just be so satisfied and more happy than ever before in your entire life. That's the word of the Lord to you. All right?
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. Now, those of you who, let me give you my telephone number and email address. It's Bishop, my email address, BISHOP, at Bishop, again, and then Womack, WOMACK.com. So Bishop at Bishop Womack.com. BISHOP at BISHOPWOMACK.com. And my telephone number, 973-748-0090. 973-748-0090. All right. If anybody else have a question or a prayer request, there's something on your end if you're watching. I'm not sure. I'm just getting used to coming back on Blog Talk. I haven't been on in a while since last night. There should be something there that you, if you have a question, you have a prayer request, you just basically go ahead and push the button that you have on your side, and I'll see it. People, the reality of faith, I think sometimes it's, we hear about faith so much that we kind of take it for granted that we know, and we really don't know because we still are entertaining doubt and unbelief, and we have the wrong concept like most people, because many people think faith is acting like something is so when it really isn't so. And if we do it long enough, like confessing or saying it, then it becomes so. And that's not it at all. Faith is real. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It exists whether you see it or not. And it says the evidence of things not real. So this is where we get jammed up and crammed up and messed up and hijacked because we don't see it. And if we would just function in the realm of the spirit, you'll find you'll have more demonstrations and more manifestations of the blessings of God than ever before. But you can't get hooked up into, I got to always see it or I got to always feel it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm married. All right. There's some times in marriages, you don't always feel like they love you. You always feel that. But it doesn't make a difference of what you feel. It's what it is. I love my wife. I know my wife loves me. Even if we have a disagreement, I know I still love my wife. And I know she still loves me. So you can't go by that feeling. See, that's what messed people up. And that's why a lot of people get messed up in relationships and stuff too. Because you always think you got to feel something all the time. Or you got to see something. Or basically, you got to be ruled by the senses some form, some way, and that's not it at all. All right. Okay, if there's anybody else you need prayer, you need a word from the Lord, go ahead and click. Let me tell you, I'm going to come on tomorrow as well because there's something I really need to talk about. There's some people that are caught into compulsive desires and caught into things that they don't even realize. Like the Apostle Paul, he said, when I want to do good, I find evil is present with me. And when I want to do this, I know I shouldn't do this. I still do it. And there are what is called strongholds upon people's lives that they don't even realize that. Let me give you an example. I have a few more minutes. Some of you, I think everybody's familiar with the story of David and Goliath. There's something that we really miss about David and Goliath. You know, David went to go, he was just a delivery boy delivering some food to his brothers. And as he went to deliver some food to his brothers, he saw this giant. He was like, who's this guy? What's up with him? And he was like, well, he's a giant. He's coming against, you know, the Israel, the kingdom of Israel and the armies of the Lord. And David heard that there was a reward if you kill this giant. And he said, well, what's the reward? Well, whoever kills this giant, your family won't pay taxes. He's like, that sounds good. The other thing is, whoever kills this giant, you will actually become rich and you don't pay taxes either. So, I mean, my family and me will, first of all, I become rich. And the third thing, you get to marry the king's daughter. He was like, man, so that means I'd be related to royalty, rich, and my family don't have to pay taxes. That's what motivated him. But you know what was really something is that here is a giant that was not even David's giant. That was Saul was the king. Saul was the commander in chief. That was Saul's giant. And David was fighting a giant that was not even his. And a lot of you don't realize you're fighting giants that ain't yours. Some of you are fighting a giant that's your mother's giant. Some of you are fighting a giant that's your father's giant. Some of you are fighting a giant that goes back years ago with a grandmother and a grandfather. Some of you don't realize you're fighting generational curses, giants that are not even yours, and you're wondering why are you having such a struggle with certain things and why certain things are going on with your life, and it has nothing to do with you at all. But if you could look like David looked, he didn't look at the giant. He was looking at the rewards. He didn't look at that big giant. He was looking at those big rewards. I'm going to marry the king's daughter. I'm going to become a part of royalty. I'm going to become rich, and my family don't have to pay taxes. And people, I know it seems rough and hard. A lot of times these giants that you're dealing with, some of you got boyfriend giants, girlfriend giants, husband giant, wife giant, dealing with things of the past, generational curses, some things from your mother, your father. And the Bible says even from the third and fourth generation, there's certain things that come upon your life. And they're not your giants, but God will give you the strength if you can only see past the giant. see beyond the giant and see and hear what God says, what your reward's going to be. Oh, my God, I pray. I'm going to pray for you right now. I pray in the name of Jesus that each and every listener, that faith has been added as never before, that you will function ever-increasing faith, not in human faith, but in the God kind of faith, and speak to mountains, and the mountains will be removed. And that you will move from glory to glory. I pray that every hindrance spirit is bound in Jesus' name. For Lord, you said, whatsoever we bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I pray that no weapon formed against you shall prosper and be able to stand. That you will not be a victim anymore, but a victor in Christ Jesus. And be a world overcomer. I decree and declare unto you, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I decree and declare unto you, you shall have sweet sleep tonight and cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. I decree and declare that you have more than enough, that your cup runneth over, and there shall no evil befall you, neither any plague come nigh your dwelling, for he gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. And he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anointed your head with oil. Your mind will be protected. I decree and declare that you go forth with the helmet of salvation, that you wear the whole armor of God so that you might be able to stand against the wiles, the maneuvers, the strategies, the tactics of the enemy. And no weapon formed against you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I call you blessed of the Lord. I call you connected to the total source of your total supply and your every need. I call you, oh, not just a child of God, but a son, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. For you'll not have lack, but you'll flow in supernatural abundance. You flow in bountiful, oh, my God, blessings. And you'll begin to tap into the resources that lie with on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You'll no longer go to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. I thank you, Lord, that you've heard my prayer. I thank you that they'll have a sweet sleep tonight. I thank you that their faith is activated. I thank you that the divine energy of God moves through every cell in their body, every system in their body, circulatory system. Amen. Digestive system. There's somebody need a touch in their immune system right now. I pray that that disease right now would dry up in Jesus' name. I pray for that female with endometriosis. I pray that that will actually dry up in Jesus' name and that she begins to change her diet. There's somebody, the Lord's been dealing with you that you need to change the diet. I pray that you have the discipline to start and move to greater heights in health. And wealth and prosperity and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. Listen, folks, take down my email, bishop@bishopwomack.com, B-I-S-H-O-P at B-I-S-H-O-P-W-O-M-A-C-K.com. W-O-M-A-C-K.com. Drop me an email if you enjoyed this broadcast tonight. If you've been blessed by this blog talk radio post, send me an email and just say, Bishop, I enjoyed it. Put your information there, too. I'd like to send you something in the mail. Put your way I could ship something to you. Amen. Be a blessing to you. Again, bishop@bishopwomack.com. Drop me an email, B-I-S-H-O-P at B-I-S-H-O-P. WOMACK.com. This is Bishop Shamiah Womack saying, I see you wonderful people going one place that's up, 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 and over the top. Join me next time, amen, on this wonderful blog talk radio as we have another hour of power of prayer and prophecy. God bless you, people. I love you. Peace.